I've told the story of how the book came to be written before, but I guess I can tell it one more time. Last time pays for all. In the late 70s, I was invited to spend a year at my alma mater, the University of Maine, as the writer in residence, and also teach a class in the literature of the fantastic. My lecture notes for that course formed the spine of Danse Macabre, which was published a year or two later. My wife and I rented a house in Arrington, about 12 miles from the campus. It was a wonderful house in a wonderful rural Maine town. The only problem was the road we lived on. It was very busy, a lot of the traffic consisting of heavy tanker trucks from the chemical plant down the road. Julio De Sanctis, who owned the store across the road from us, told me early on that my wife and I wanted to keep a close watch on our children and on any pets our children might have. That road has used up a lot of animals, Julio said, a phrase that made its way into the story. And the proof of how many animals the road had used up was in the woods beyond our rented house. A path led up through the neighboring field to a little pet cemetery in the woods. Only the sign on the tree just outside this charming little makeshift graveyard read PETSEMATARY. This phrase did more than just make it into the book. It became the title. There were dogs and cats buried up there, a few birds, even a goat. Our daughter, who was 8 or so at the time, had a cat named Smucky. And not long after we moved into the Orrington house, I found Smucky dead on the lawn of a house across the road. The newest animal Route 5 had used up, it seemed, was my daughter's beloved pet. We buried Smucky in the pet cemetery. My daughter made the grave marker, which read, "Smucky, he was obedient." Smucky wasn't in the least obedient, of course. He was a cat, for heaven's sake. All seemed to be well until that night, when I heard a thumping from the garage, accompanied by weeping and popping sounds like small firecrackers. I went out to investigate and found my daughter, furious and beautiful in her grief. She had found several sheets of that blistered packing material in which fragile objects are sometimes shipped. She was jumping up and down on this, popping the blisters and yelling, "He was my cat! Let God have his own cat! Smucky was my cat!" Such anger, I think, is the sanest first response to grief that a thinking, feeling human being can have, and I've always loved her for that defiant cry, "Let God have his own cat." Right on, beautiful, right on. Our youngest son, then less than 2 years old, had only learned to walk, but already he was practicing his running skills. On a day not long after Smucky's demise, while we were out in the neighboring yard fooling around with a kite, our toddler took it into his head to go running toward the road. I ran after him, and damned if I couldn't hear one of those Chinbro trucks coming, Orinco in the novel. Either I caught him and pulled him down, or he tripped on his own. To this day, I'm not entirely sure which. When you're really scared, your memory often blanks out. All I know for sure is that he is still fine and well and in his young manhood, but a part of my mind has never escaped from that gruesome what if. Suppose I hadn't caught him. Or suppose he had fallen in the middle of the road instead of on the edge of it. I think you can see why I found the book which rose out of these incidents so distressing. I simply took existing elements and threw in that one terrible what if. Put another way, I found myself not just thinking the unthinkable, but writing it down. There was no writing space in the Orrington house, but there was an empty room in Julio's store, and it was there that I wrote Pet Cemetery. On a day-by-day basis, I enjoyed the work, and I knew I was telling a hot story, one that engaged my attention and would engage the attention of readers. But when you're working day by day, you're not seeing the forest, you're only counting trees. When I finished, I let the book rest 6 weeks, which is my way of working, and then I read it over. I found the result so startling and so gruesome that I put the book in a drawer, thinking it would never be published. Not in my lifetime, anyway. That it was published was a case of mere circumstance. I had ended my relationship with Doubleday, the publisher of my early books, but I owed them a final novel before accounts could be closed completely. I only had one in hand that wasn't spoken for, and that one was Pet Cemetery. I talked it over with my wife, who is my best counselor when I'm not sure how to proceed, and she told me that I should go ahead